my fiance has found the world of TikTok, and it is absurd. It is a lot of fun, but yet you are in a rabbit hole for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite way to like de-stress when I get home from work is I just go to on TikTok and I just go on TikTok for hours. Like that's for all hours. I do. And that's how for I hours. Like relax after work when especially if it's extra stressful.
I have a strong theory that it's that app is a great it hands you a great sense of classism. Because if you ever notice that all the white people on there have really nice houses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And anyone browner than that has an okay or lesser house.
Yeah.
Comparison to them. They have big ceilings, big walls, like granite. And then everyone else is just like a middle class home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it really shows, it really is a great indication of privilege in our country.
That's true.
I think that's what the Russians made this for.
I thought it was a Chinese app.
I feel like it was a Russian thing. I don't know if they're like the Russians made another thing or I'm just getting them confused, but either way, communists made these.
Because I think it was like
comrades.
It was bought by the same people who did Musical.ly, or like it was done by the same people who did Musical.ly, something like that.
Yeah.
It was born from Musical.ly, I
know
that.
Yes, it was. Yes, yeah. It was. So Musical.ly was the Russian app, and I think TikTok was the Chinese app, probably. Whatever. So let's get into some 2000s news. Let's start off heavy and sad. Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne passed away from COVID-19.
This is the first time hearing of this.
I texted you this link about it the other day.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't use Facebook anymore, so this is really hard to communicate to you.
I'm sorry. I mean, I use it. I just, like, don't check it consistently.
Are you going off the grid now, Catherine?
I honestly would love to. I'm just going to disconnect everything except for Twitter on my phone.
I hate people who say they're going off the internet or off the grid. Like, it just... it like, whenever I hear it, I think they think they're way higher than I am.
Yeah.
And you're not, you just don't have any friends to talk to.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
They're just blaming all their issues on, like, social media.
Exactly. They think Instagram is why they're unemployed.
And they're usually the people that go 12 hours and then start posting again. It's like, if you're going to go offline, literally right? Just, like, disappear and don't tell anyone for days. Or, like,
you know what?
Go hard or go home. I should think you're dead. Really
if you're really serious about it, break your phone. If
yeah.
You're really serious about
there
it,
you
break
go.
Your fucking phone. Fucking bitch.
I just have like set times where I'm like there are times when it's like, all right, well, between these hours, I'm just like not gonna look at my phone. Like, don't text me during these hours.
I'm constantly reading
yeah.
It. After we got that invite yesterday.
Nowadays, I am constantly reading it, but like I used
yeah.
To have that time.
We completely had a sidetrack. So Adam is passed away from COVID-19. He is best known for Fountains of Wayne. Stacey's Mom, as we know, massive hit, Grammy award-winning hit. He's also had tons of his music featured in films and shows, and he composed themes for shows like The Bubble Guppies, Sesame Street, The Howard Stern Show, and Big Time Rush.
Icon.
He composed a lot of those themes for so many shows, and he was 52 years old.
Hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Hard pivot to other news. Paris Hilton talks about her fame saying, I was always ahead of my time, just being an innovator, setting the precedent and creating a whole new genre of celebrity. I think that was the beginning of all that. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with her at all. I think she's absolutely correct.
I simultaneously love and hate Paris Hilton.
Right?
Like, she's one of those.
But she,
like, I hate a lot of the things that you stand for, but...
She is a businesswoman.
She is a businesswoman.
She is
yeah.
Working.
Yeah.
She is working. She is 36, I think.
Yeah. Like, she definitely came from a lot of privilege, and, like, that definitely had a part of it. But, like, she also, like...
Like, 90%
yeah.
Of it. Like, is...
But, yeah, no, she's a businesswoman, and she's not... You know, she did a lot with... She took what she had, and she, like, really took advantage of that and was smart about it, you know?
And just exploded everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because, honestly, without Paris Hilton, would we have these... would we have these shows out, you know, yeah. after A Simple Life, mm-hmm. tabloids, porn, sex tapes, you know, it was just a massive brand. She was such a, she was a, you know, a massive influence to being an influencer,
yeah.
to influencer culture now. So,
I mean, I sort of have a God picture bless. Of her on my wall right now that I just keep looking at, sort of, because it has a friend of ours' face photoshopped onto her, and then I'm on Nicole Richie, and it's from The Simple Life. And it's the it's the still that says, yeah, your boobs are touching mine. It's silly.
Wow, that's every party we've ever been to. Joel Osteen, the worst human ever, honestly. He wouldn't let people take shelter in his mega church during hurricane flooding a few years back because he's a goddamn dick. He is hosting an Easter Sunday service which will feature Kanye West, Tyler Perry, and the Virgin Mary herself, Mariah Carey. but it is pre-taped, which is a shame because I would have loved to have seen Mariah walk off stage again due to audio issues.
That's true. That would be iconic.
Yeah. So by the time we release this, it has already happened. But I will be attending Kanye Sunday service, as I always do. Joel Osteen scares the living shit out of me. Like, he looks like he would be in charge of a purge.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be leading.
You're
it.
Absolutely right.
So let's do our weekly, haven't done this bit in a long time, is what's annoying Catherine this week? Aside from isolation and quarantine.
But I'm not even isolated or quarantined, so that's not even bothering me. I would say pollen. Pollen's really bothering me.
Pollen.
My eyes have been irritated for days. I can't breathe through my nose.
My cowboys.
And then also my coworkers, but only like specific ones. Like, you know how how a bunch of people, how they're locked in together, and so they're getting like cabin fever, starting to get real irritated with their like roommates or significant others. I'm like that with my coworkers because I see them way more than I see anyone else. And some of them, like, I'm on my last straw with them and I'm trying real hard not to snap.
The last petal on the flower.
Yep. Ooh. I've had a there's one specific one. Obviously I'm not naming names for any specific reasons, but basically they messed up the other day and they were trying to blame it on me and like trying to convince me that it was my fault and telling everyone that it was my fault, when not only was the mistake not my fault, but it wasn't actually a mistake in the first place, and her freaking out about it cost us like over $100.
Way to go, Jan. Karen.
And this is not the first time she's done this, so
let's call her Karen.
I'm getting real irritated.
Karen is a really, it's a very white name, and it's always led to like a bad, you know, like when I hear Karen, I just think of someone yelling at a cashier, like inside of a cold. So you know what else is bad?
What else is bad? What's up?
Talking about the 2000s.
You just called our entire podcast bad, Jason.
Bad in a good way.
It's the truth. Michael Jackson, it's what bad. You should say. It is bad.
Bad.
Just like the 2000s, we are bad.
We are bad.
It's the brand.
And we are back.
Do you remember? We had really bad sound all the time? Do you remember that?
You know, a friend of mine.
Go ahead.
She mentioned, it was just like, how do you guys podcast still? And I was just like, well, Catherine moved. So. we each have a mic, and we record separately for obvious reasons due to mileage. And it almost sounds like we're in the same room in a studio somewhere, but really, we're in our apartment.
It's honestly better sound quality than we had when we sat next to each other.
We should have been doing this from the very beginning.
Yeah, we should. Like,
we should have never. Yeah. I should have never made the trek to your house every fucking morning just to go do this.
Not every morning. It was once a week. Calm down.
It was once a week. Buy you breakfast every single time.
Okay, but then once I moved, I had to go to... Or no, once you moved, I had to go to your place every time. And your place had worse sound quality than mine because you have those wooden floors.
I have those this grand acoustic levels out here. Mm-hmm. The acoustics are amazing.
They're awful.
So amazing, amazing. We are here to talk about Yeezus, Kanyeezy, Kanye West. Applause in the background, please. Kanye West. What are your early thoughts on Kanye?
By early thoughts, do you mean like before our discussion of Kanye and how I presently feel about him, or how I felt about him in the 2000s?
I think in the 2000s.
In the 2000s, I liked his music and had no other strong opinion about him as a person. But I liked his music.
Okay.
What's the one song? The word heart is in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Heartless.
Heartless, yeah. Not gonna lie, yeah. That song still slaps. Like,
we are definitely gonna be talking about
that album too. Is like chef's kiss, so good.
Okay, so I have an opinion about that album, but we will cross that bridge soon enough. So before we really dive deep into the Kanye renaissance of the 2000s, I want to have a disclaimer that we will not be talking about certain things. We're going to miss some things because I understand Kanye stans. If there is any stan that is as bad as a Taylor stan, it is a Kanye stan. I know too many. I've had so many arguments with them, and safe to say, I think my life ended up a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm joking. So I'm going to miss some things on production, the music, the lyrics. I'm kind of general paintbrushing here as best I can to talk about my opinion, my experiences through his music for 10 years. So we're only talking about 2000 to 2010 Kanye. Everything after that is off
limits. We're not even touching.
I'm not touching Watch the Throne.
That would take. I'm not touching. It would take way too long.
This would be a three-parter. If we legit had a conversation about Kanye West, we would be doing three parts. I'm not
three parts, and we would still miss things. Like there, it would still be like just skating over what happened.
There was just so much. It is super dense. So I've had to compress this as much as I can and just talk about the most prominent.
You could do a whole podcast series diving deep into Kanye West.
On Kanye.
You could do it.
On Kanye. If you could do an entire podcast on Britney, you can do an entire podcast on Kanye. It's insane. So I apologize ahead of time if I miss something. Do not email us. Do not contact me about something. I fucking know. I just didn't say it. Okay.
You can email us about other things. I must have missed
it. Here's a funny thing is that I won't really talk about his personal life. We're just going to really strictly talk about his music. Because his music alone is insane.
Yeah.
So it's quite a heavy episode, but also talking about Kanye, you need to almost take a sigh. Like whenever you say his name, you're just like...
Now I'm just going to add a sigh after every time we say Kanye.
Oh, let me crack this LaCroix open.
I was gonna say, is it another White Claw?
I almost got it, but I worked out today, so I try not to have alcohol the same day I exercise.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like it's bad. Like alcohol is bad in general, and so if I've had pretty good meal and like my protein shake, I don't immediately go with a White Claw. I just might as well stay clean for today, and then like. In a few days, I'll have, like, a glass of wine.
I walked, like, 6 miles today and then ate half a pizza, and now I'm drinking wine as I sit here. So
You walk 6 miles?
Yeah, dude. My job.
Look at you. Look at this. That's going on the page. We should just have a tracker of your mileage.
You can see the days I have off because I walk 3+ miles every day I have work. And then any day I don't have work, I walk, like, 20
Nothing.
Steps.
Nothing. You are crawling in your apartment. So, Kanye West, massive influence into pop culture. Not even just hip-hop, just our world in general. So, my earliest knowledge of Kanye was in 2000, when I was about 8 years old, 9 years old, kind of. When Jay-Z dropped The Blueprint, one of the greatest albums I've ever heard in my life. He was a producer signed to Rockefeller Records during that time, and his production on that album alone made that album a classic. So people knew who the fuck he was during that time. He had been working with Chicago artists in years prior, but working with Jay-Z was like the pinnacle. And it set it, it, you know, it, it really gave him a name inside the hip hop world, as in who to work with. And that was that guy. So it led him to producing songs for Cam'ron, Ludacris, Freeway, Alicia Keys, and Janet Jackson. So this is young Kanye producing music for Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. which is impressive, yeah. you know. And as we all know now, Kanye always wanted to be a rapper, but people never took him seriously. Like, people laughed at him when he was like, I want to rap. And people were just like, nah, dude, you're good at making beats. Mm-hmm. Nobody took him seriously. Because it was during this time when it, like, it was this image. I'm sure you remember. I don't know how, I keep forgetting how young you were during this time of like 2000 to 2002. Everyone was rocking like a hood image, like the gangster image, like 50 Cent, T.I., people like that. And Kanye would show up to an office or to go record, make beats in like a polo and a backpack. And, like, that wasn't the image that, like, all the labels were just like, no, you're not gangster enough. Like, this isn't the music that's, like, hitting right mm-hmm. now. And so, you know, he was only signed as a producer. And that's all people, not even Jay-Z could see him as a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, let's pause for a sec. Let's keep recording, but let's pause. My mother's calling. So, this is a point in Kanye's story of not being taken seriously as a rapper, only as a producer, where everything fucking changed. And there's two moments, maybe three, counting this era, but really two moments in this story where Kanye's life, like, completely fucking changes and his music changes. He got into a car crash. You know this, right? His car crash?
I think I've heard about this before, yeah, but it's been a while.
Yeah, so Kanye was in a massive car crash. He was driving home and he fell asleep at the wheel and hit a car head on. And he had reconstructive surgery on his jaw. His jaw was completely shattered in the crash. And in his song, in like his first single, Through the Wire, which is, in my opinion, one of the greatest songs of the 2000s and his top five greatest Kanye song I've ever heard in my life, he has a lyric where he's just like, thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. Basically, the seatbelt fucking saved him.
Yeah.
If he wasn't wearing one, he would not be alive. We would have no Kanye right now.
God, could you imagine?
So he had his jaw wired shut for like almost half a year or some shit like that. And so during that time, he was amped and motivated to make an album on his own, produce his own, write it. And so he made Through the Wire while having his mouth wired shut. So if you listen to the song, he's rapping while having his mouth like closed, basically. Mm-hmm. And it became iconic. This song was fucking everywhere. That's all I could listen to when I was in school, when we turn on any music show, VH1, BET, MTV, this song was playing on repeat almost every hour. And so, and it's one of, it just, it's a beautiful song. Every time I hear it, I get chills. Mm-hmm. It just feels very very victorious, you know, and it's like a true testament to his genius. Like, he could hear music and like melodies and smash it all together. It's completely insane. With like a Chaka Khan sample. It's fucking nuts. And so leads into the college dropout. Kanye stands, I know. This is either his number three or number one album, depending on who you talk to, and all depends on how old they are. They will either argue this album or Late Registration, his next album, are his greatest album ever. But this is by far a certified classic. The album leaked 3 months early. And I remember this because LimeWire, this was a big one. It leaked 3 months early. So Kanye went back into the studio, improved the sound, added more vocals, more drums, more piano, more everything into the song. So the ones, all the leaks you heard weren't the ones you got on the final album. And so it dropped in February 2004. Let's see if Catherine knows some of these hit songs. So oh, we God. Already talked about Through the Wire.
No.
We already talked about Through the Wire, one of my favorite songs. Slow Jams.
So first disclaimer, like, based off of the names, they don't sound familiar. It's possible I'd recognize it if I heard it, but I...
You 100% will recognize if I just started playing songs for you. So Slow Jams, Jamie Foxx, Twista, I feel like you've definitely heard this song. And it's one of my favorites. Fun fact, Jamie Foxx had an album in 1994, but nobody listened to it, and they all thought it was trash. But Kanye approached Jamie to be on this song, and Jamie was also never taken seriously as a singer, even though he can fucking sing. And he was like, I want you to do this on this song, and he gone to the studio in his own house and recorded it, and instant classic. And it's beautiful. All Falls Down. It all falls down. You're
nothing, again, nothing, I'd have nothing. To hear it.
Oh, fuck.
Not that I, like, yeah, not so. That I don't, most of the music I know about Kanye is from the Graduation album.
Yeah, so it's,
at least for his, like, 2000 stuff. I think I've heard this, yeah.
Slow Jams? You've never heard this. You've definitely heard that.
I don't know. I can't tell.
I don't know. Okay, so here's one I know you definitely have, is Jesus Walks.
Yes.
This is a song that made even atheists feel Christian for maybe 3 minutes. Yeah. This is the song that every church found okay to finally play a rap song in their church. Mm-hmm. Funny story. Almost a year ago, I saw Kanye's Sunday service when I was in L.A. It was 421 Coachella in L.A. And it was beautiful. It was quite beautiful. So Jesus Walks, the classic, hypes everyone up. Whatever religion you're in, Jesus Walks. And the new workout plan, it's a classic, solid bop. But this album, this entire album as a whole, was a chart topper. Shit fucking changed. The image of hip-hop was changed with this album. Just in terms of clothes, sound, you know, lyrics. Not to say that no one else has ever talked about struggles and, like, you know, like your soul and, like, personal shit. But Kanye added his own mix and style from so many genres into this one album. So it was quite beautiful to see it happen. And it influenced rappers now, like Cole, Kanye, Chance, you know, way too many to name. A lot of, like, rappers now would not be here without this album. And many of Kanye's works, honestly. So Late Registration. This is Super Saiyan 1 Kanye, in my opinion. College Dropout was Kaioken Kanye. These are Dragon Ball references. It's anime, Catherine. Anyone who listens that got them, thank you.
Whatever you say, Jason. Thank
you. And you understand me. You totally understand me. This album blew my mind. It was like a journey. It felt like when I first listened to Nas's first two albums. And I know these are hard references because you're not, you know, the hugest hip-hop head I know. But what are, like, two albums for you, personally, that you listened to that were just, like, mind-blowing to you?
Wait, for Kanye?
From, like, one artist. No, just, like, from any artist you know personally. That, like, two albums that just, like, blew your mind, you know? Like, you were left, you know.
In hip-hop?
No, just in general, dude.
Oh, in general? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always going to be a Janelle Monáe stan. Straight up.
Yeah.
I love her stuff. Dirty Computer, like, it's been years and I'm still wrecked every time I listen to it. I still listen to it all the time.
It's a really ageless album.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay, I haven't thought about albums in a minute.
That's fine.
But definitely Janelle Monáe's album, because, like, Janelle that... Monáe. Like, 100%. Every time someone's like, what's your favorite album? Like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. 100%. I do really like Lizzo's most recent album, but that's more, like, very, like, fun music that I just love to listen to.
So let's talk about some of these fucking slappers from this album. Gold Digger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gold Digger.
You got it.
Jamie Foxx, another collab. Jamie Foxx channeling old school R&B, soul, any singer you could possibly imagine from like the olden days. And it just comes through clearly here. And the production, I'll always mention Kanye and the whole production. It's just so, it's fucking layered. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Gold Digger, the video is iconic. It was everywhere. You know, from the solid color black, the backgrounds, the close-ups, Kanye rapping with his back turned and just doing this shit the whole time. You know, it drips of nostalgia from, like, school. Every time I think of, like, Kanye during these albums, I just think of school in the mornings when you'd watch this shit. Heard him say.
Wait, which one?
Heard him say. I feel like you might have heard this song.
It's possible.
It's quite possible.
It sounds familiar, but I'm not. I don't.
I can't
know
wait to be sued
well.
By Kanye. It's one of my favorites. Adam Levine is on this shit.
Oh, okay.
Adam Levine is on this shit. What else is here? Touch the Sky. Come up in the spot, look at extra fly. You've heard this shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
Classic.
That.
Have you seen the music video for this?
I don't think so.
It's really fucking great. Lupe Fiasco is on this song. He's in the video. I should just do a... I want to do a whole, like, thing on him, but I feel like it might be too niche. Kanye is in the video. He's black, evil, Knievel, Kanyevil, as they call him. And Tracy Ellis Ross is in it, Pam Anderson and Nia Long. And so it's really funny when they have like a break in like the whole thing. You should really watch it. Touch the Sky, Gold Digger, Diamonds from Sierra Leone. You have heard this song 100%.
Play it.
Where it is. Diamonds.
Yeah, for it.
This fucking song, dude. Ugh. The scream. This fucking album is so good. Holy shit! As I sip my LaCroix, this shit is
basic
so bomb.
Ass bitch.
This, fuck you. This shit is so good. This shit is so good. I don't know how else to describe that song. Throw your diamonds in the air if you feel the vibe. The Shirley sample is just amazing. Just like that sample, the drums, the horns, the whole fucking thing. The song "Hey Mama," it wasn't a single, but it is a love song to his mother. His mother was such a huge influence on his creations, his art. It's quite beautiful. It reminded me a lot of the "Dear Mama" song by Tupac. So big shout out to all the mamas in the world. Shout out to all the mamas in the world.
Mother's Day is getting closer, right?
Mother's Day. That's in June.
Is it June or right? Is it May? I think it's May. I think Father's Day is June.
Yeah, you're right. See, I'm a terrible fucking son.
I only remember because it's close. Like, Mother's Day is close to my mom's birthday, and the same thing for Father's Day. So.
Oh, that's like cheating.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no,
you only
right?
get one gift. You only get one.
Yeah, it's basically it's like
and
Christmas.
And you got to choose one day.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, Drive Slow was also a hit off this album with Paul Wall. Do you remember Paul Wall?
No.
Paul Wall was one of those, I would say he was a pretty big white rapper from the South. He was actually pretty good. He could flow on a track. The dude was pretty decent. Beat Goes Hard is very underrated, in my opinion. And he's a really good rapper. And for this album, Kanye West talked about the whole direction he was trying to go to. He wanted it to be like Coldplay, Portishead, Fiona Apple. And none of that translated through this entire fucking... Could you imagine Gold Digger playing by Coldplay?
No.
None of that.
That is like,
none of that. Computers.
Fiona I was like, Apple what the fuck to Coldplay? What?
Fiona Apple, I could see a little bit, but okay. Fucking like I don't hear Portishead at all. None of that comes.
I also
here.
Don't really like Coldplay that much. Like, so,
oof, yeah. I was a big fan growing up, especially their first three albums. Yeah. When I heard like their third album, I was just kind of blown away by it. Yeah. I was just like, I've never heard anything
like this. Viva La Vida. I do like that song.
Yeah, that was a huge, huge one. That was a big pop album.
They're just ones that, like, as think, I grew older, I think just X and didn't Y was their best like one. That much, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, they're over now, so it's fine.
Because after a while, all their music kind of started sounding the same to me.
Yeah.
They're one of those.
So with Kanye, it's like, what's crazy to think about is, like, he's been almost... making music for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Which is like it's 20 been a long fucking ass years. Time, yeah. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't feel like that. Like it feels shorter.
No. It really doesn't feel like that at all. And so he's almost been doing it for 20 years. And so one of the most beautiful things about Kanye is his ear for sampling music. Yeah. The very few people can just like hear a certain note or a certain phrase in a song. Clip that and use it in theirs and completely make something new out of it. And he is absolutely talented at it.
Yeah.
And it's scary good. And he's really, to me, goes down as one of the greatest people to ever hit a drum machine. He's just, it's very intoxicating watching him work. So let's talk about your album, Graduation.
Yep.
So... my opinion is, I think this album is okay. In high school, there were fights about these three albums, about whether Graduation was this fucking good. And my solid opinion as a 27-year-old adult is, it's okay.
I'd have to go back and listen to the whole thing. I just think for me, that album was like, that's the most... I ever listened to Kanye besides like Gold Digger because like was, everyone knows that song.
It was huge mainstream yeah. Kanye. It was like peak mainstream.
And I think
Kanye.
that's how I found Kanye, and that's most of when I think of like his music, that's kind of what I default to. So yeah. I really like that album because it's also like a nostalgic thing, but also like it's music that I liked at the time and I still like now and would happily listen to now. I'm just not as familiar with his older stuff is the thing.
So that's the thing with Graduation is that it became more friendly to the general audience.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, you weren't into College Dropout and Late Registration.
It's more like palatable. Yeah.
Yeah, more palatable to the general audience. That's where Graduation was so huge. And also at that time, Kanye was already a name. And so after late, it's about waiting, what's your third album going to be like, what's it going to sound like? And it really is a precursor to the following album. But songs like Homecoming, I do have some favorite songs off here, like a lot of the hits, Stronger, the Daft Punk sample, which I kind of attribute it to him really not adding much more to the song because it's really a Daft Punk song.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree.
He didn't
with
really
that,
have to do much. Yeah, he did half the work. Yeah. Flashing Lights. I was reminded of this song during a Peloton workout class the other day.
Oh my god. Peloton?
I was like, yeah, boy.
Wow.
I'll talk about it later, but it's always fun. Yeah, so it came on. I was just like, oh, dude, I remember this fucking song. It's still good. And what's crazy about this album itself, if you released it now, you couldn't tell what era this came out of. And that's like a lot of his music feels very timeless sometimes. And especially this one. Like, you can place this in any era from 2000 to now, and you can never really say when it really came out. Because it's still like it's so production heavy, and it just sounds amazing.
It does, yeah.
And so I really wish Kanye would.
It's the kind of song you want re-release. High quality headphones to listen to.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Flashing Lights, Stronger, like those were huge ones. So this album, this is like the album that paved the way for J. Cole and Drake. Mm-hmm. Like I could hear Drake on any of these songs at any given point. Like these feel like Drake songs sometimes. So Graduation was a good precursor to my least favorite album, 808s and Heartbreak. But before I get into that, I want to have a small mention for a super group that was supposed to happen with Kanye, but as the idea came, it died like that. Child Rebel Soldier. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
All right, so for Kanye stans out there, I'm sure you know, for any hip-hop fan stans, stan fans out there, this was going to be a super group with Lupe Fiasco, Pharrell Williams, and Kanye. They've only dropped 2 songs ever. And I'm sure they have way more songs, but they will never see the light of day. Like, it just, it never came to fruition. No one followed through. But there is a song called Us Placers. And it's a Thom Yorke sample from his song The Eraser off the same album. And all they added was a small drum kick and a snare. And they just took like the first half of that song and just looped it around for the chorus. And it is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, I will send you the link and it's fucking perfect. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like, damn. And you can feel it's like a sign of that time, 2008. It's just like, when it came out, me and my friends never stopped talking about, oh, they're going to do like Child Rebel Soul. Like, it's going to be wild. Like, Kanye rapping and production, Pharrell production, Lupe rapping. It was like peak that era of hip hop. I don't even know what to call it. Backpacker hip hop. I really have no idea. I have no idea what to fucking call that era of like 2007, 2009. I have no idea what to call it. But so 808 and Heartbreak. This causes a lot of friction with Kanye stans and normal Kanye fans. That this album is either amazing and personal and a complete shift in artistic vision, or it's complete fucking trash.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm a little bit of both. With this was peak time for auto-tune, synths, reverb, phasers, lots of electronic influences on this one. And also his mother had just passed away. Mm-hmm. And his engagement to his longtime partner had failed. It completely broke apart. So he's basically kind of a broken guy at this point. Mm-hmm. Especially his mom having to pass away due complicated surgery.
Right.
And so that was, it was very tragic. And when I heard the news of his mom passing away, I was just like, will Kanye quit? Like, you know, that was like his main driver was his mother. And so this was a very, he talked about this album being almost like therapy. You know, it's very cathartic for him to create this album. And so he sees this as more of a pop album than a hip hop album, which I completely fucking agree.
Yeah.
This is a pop album.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, this is art pop.
Yeah.
He did art pop before Lady Gaga.
Oh my God. Like,
this is it. This is fucking art pop. And so Heartless was the theme for everyone's MySpace page. For the longest fucking time. It was on autoplay whenever you went on to anyone's page. Quoting this song was always having to post lyrics on 2008 era Facebook. I'm sure we've seen plenty of people do that shit. You know? How could you be so heartless?
How could you be so heartless? How could you
fucking be so heartless? How could you? Ugh. And so, it's still catchy. You know, this is still a fucking catchy song. So was this like more of your album during that time?
I think I listened to Graduation more so, but I did know a few songs off this album. Like Heartless and Love like Lockdown mainly. Because like, remember, this was after I got into Graduation. So then this album came out and I'm like, oh, I like this artist. I like these songs. Let me listen to this now. So, but if I had to say, I think I like Graduation better.
That's fair. I do too. Yeah. I cannot physically sit down and listen to 808s and Heartbreaks the whole way through. I never have and I never will.
I don't think I've ever tried. I just know a handful of songs.
I've attempted.
Oh, really?
I've had to. When I first heard it, I had to take a break because I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. Like, this is when like auto tune was everywhere.
Yeah.
T-Pain was like the fucking guy.
Yeah.
And so once that became a thing, everyone started doing that, and then Kanye got hooked to doing that a lot. That's why Heartless is super auto tuned.
Yeah.
Because Kanye can't really fucking sing.
It was that time.
And
man.
So it was a lot of finding his rhythm with this album, a lot of experimentation, a lot of new sounds. Like, this guy, like, I feel like Kanye just listens to a lot of the 80s hits, like Kraftwerk and Depeche Mode,
yeah,
a
probably.
Lot of those bands, to really have some influence into what this would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I feel this is hip-hop, but this is really pop than anything.
Right.
This is still Kanye. So I can't speak to the rest of the album because I think Heartless was like the single, like the fucking hit off this album.
No, absolutely.
Kanye stans, do not attack me. Don't tell me that this
do
song
not engage.
Was beautiful too. Do not engage. I will not engage, and I will just tell you whatever.
I mean,
I will not respond.
I'm personally of the belief that like, if an artist does like one genre, they don't have to stick with that. Like if they do hip hop and they want to an album that's pop, they're allowed to do that. Like they're allowed to do other things, especially if they're just kind of like trying some stuff out and experimenting. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know?
So that's the problem with a lot of hip hop fans is that, granted, I think this is an okay album, but I have such high respect for Kanye to create this album with the vision and the drive after going through such hardship,
mm-hmm.
and to create this album that hit people home personally, mm-hmm. it just didn't touch me that way. But with a lot of hard hip hop fans, they see this as garbage and not real hip hop.
Right.
And that's the problem a lot of the times with being a hip hop artist is that the moment you change any view of your genre, it's automatically hated.
And it's not.
And so that's the problem coming off of Graduation,
right.
Late Registration.
And it's not it's not just hip hop too, because like for example, I remember we talked in our new metal episode how like metal fans hated new metal because people don't, when they're so into a specific genre, they don't like when that genre gets like watered
metal
down,
fans are terrible,
quote unquote, you know?
Metal fans are garbage.
Yeah.
Metal fans are Star Wars fans. Like, it is like no one hates their genre or Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
And then
metal
country
fans.
Is the same way, you know, country goes pop and then people get mad about it. And I think especially it tends to happen when other genres start to go more pop, because I feel like pop is that genre
inevitable.
That kind of tends to blend into really any other genre so easily. That's and also it's a genre that isn't respected among like music critics, you know, people, you know,
that's very,
you know what I mean?
It's very true. Like it's people who don't respect pop, you know, I really see music as an expression of itself. To me right now, the era we're in the current era we're in the past, maybe I want to say 5 or 6 years is like maybe the greatest pop music we'll ever listen to
absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
I think we're in such a pop revolution that like I've begun to listen to more pop, because pop is not what we thought of growing up in the 2000s as Christina and Britney. It is so much more.
It can be made into so much. And that's what I also love about the blending of pop into other genres is that, okay, maybe you don't like one kind of pop, well, you might like this other kind of pop. Maybe you don't like pop blended with hip hop. Maybe you like pop blended with like rock, like maybe like pop rock, like, you know, maybe
pop
like bubblegum pop.
Rock.
I don't know. Like there's
bubblegum
a,
pop.
I think there is a pop music out there for everyone. You know what I mean?
So with Kanye, this was the album that made it okay for a lot of hip hop artists to dive into more genre inclusive, genre blending of their music's like Kid Cudi's second album, which in my opinion is still trash, but it is a blend of electronic and rock and soul. It's like there's so much packed into it. So this album made it almost safe and acceptable. So more artists started doing that. Just like Chance and Kid Cudi mm-hmm. is a perfect example of someone blending so many genres together.
Oh, absolutely.
And so with closing off the whole decade, I was surprised we got through it so fast. Closing off the whole decade, we're going to talk about top three. In my third favorite Kanye album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. This fucking album is awesome from start to finish. You know the song Power, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
you hear that clapping and, like, the opera coming in? Before we start talking about that album, let's talk about Good Fridays. Did you ever experience or listen to any of those songs?
I don't think so.
All right, so Kanye, in preparation for the album's release, every Friday, I think leading up to the album, he would drop a song, an unreleased song. And some of the songs were on the album and some weren't. They were just on like a mixtape later on. But it was like shit from like a vault of music that he had. And it was on his label, Good Music. And Good Fridays was, I believe, you know, post high school. I graduated 2010, like over the summer. And so around that time, he was dropping a song every Friday. And so everyone was hype as shit for Fridays. All my friends could talk about it is a Good Friday song. And it was hype as fuck. And almost every song he dropped was like fire. And so this album only translated to his new direction was intense, hard, operatic, exaggerated, laser-focused Kanye. This was hungry Kanye, hungry, angry Kanye. That I think this was like the album to remind people that he could do pop and be the hardest rapper alive mm-hmm. simultaneously. So, Power, the fucking beat,
it is, yeah, yeah.
The lyrics, this was Power so fucking so good. This was Power, the music video is so fucking sick. And also the whole basis for every Illuminati YouTube video you will ever watch in your fucking life. Because I was just like, the Illuminati, the power, the heavens, the columns, de-signify your third eye. You gotta open your third eye, man. Every fucking video ever. Just Google it, and like you will see Kanye in this shit. The slow motion, 3D graphics and shit. Like it's iconic. It's iconic. It's iKanye.
It's iKanye.
It's iKanye. Fucking quote me.
I hate it.
If he takes it, I'm gonna sue him.
I'm sure that will go well. Who do you think has more money to win out on a lawsuit? You or Kanye?
He's going to settle. He's not going to fight this shit. Well, if anything, knowing Kanye, he will fight me to the bone. He will fight me to the death.
That sounds right.
He will not give me any money. You know.
I know.
Houseway. I wish we could talk about post-2010 Kanye. It's so good. But you'll have to go to another podcast for that info.
God, I couldn't even... I wouldn't know where to start.
There is nowhere to start. You just kind of close your eyes and pick a year. All of the Lights... All of the Lights. Rihanna set this track on fucking fire. The production, the whole fucking thing is amazing. And I don't know if you knew this, but there were some additional vocals included in this song. Would you like to know who they were, Catherine?
Who are they, Jason?
John Legend, Kid Cudi, The Dream, LaRue, Alicia Keys, Elton John... Fergie, Ryan Leslie, and Drake. So when you hear the chorus for All of the Lights, it's all of their voices.
That's wild.
I did not know that until today.
I mean, this is the first time hearing of it.
It's wild as shit. Power. So also Power was in every action trailer, so many movies. It was the most overused thing, but it was such a fucking like perfect trailer. It's good trailer music. It's so fucking sick. Monster, Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj, Jay-Z. Minaj had easily the best verse on this song and easily one of the greatest verses of 2010. I stand by that for the past 10 years. That verse was fucking fire.
I can agree with that, yeah.
And Justin Vernon from Bon Iver was on this song. You know, he's done a few shit with Kanye. He's done two songs with, I think, more with him so far. But, Justin Vernon, I was like, what the fuck are you doing here, bro? You're doing sad folk pop. What are you doing? But Kanye loves anything. Yeah. So if you sound good, he'll fucking use you. Everybody knows I'm a motherfucking monster. Great line. Also, my favorite line, have you ever had sex with a pharaoh?
God.
Put the pussy in the sarcophagus. Put the pussy in the sarcophagus. My favorite fucking line.
True, like, you should get tattooed. So,
with, like pharaoh, it's just around, like, my arm. Put the pussy in the sarcophagus.
There
you go. So appalled. Amazing.
True.
Pusha T, yeah. One of the greatest rappers ever. Yeah. So appalled. A.K.A. Swizz Beatz is on it, a.k.a. Alicia Keys' husband.
Oh, okay.
And RZA, yeah, they have been married for a long... When they got together, you have no idea how many people were just like, what the fuck? It's only because he has a big nose. People just shit on him. I don't know why.
He
has a humongous
people
nose.
People have a thing about noses, I guess.
He has a big nose. If you Google Swizz Beatz nose, that is quite the nose. It is prominent. Saeed Prince and RZA were on this. This is one of my favorite tracks from Good Fridays, and I was very happy it made the album cut. Devil in a New Dress with Rick Ross. Fun fact, Kanye made Rick Ross rewrite his original verse.
Oh, wild.
Because he thought it was trash. And it ended up being a better verse. I'm like, big ups to Kanye and collaboration. Right. That's how that works. She was like, hey man, I'm not feeling it. Rewrite the entire fucking thing. And also, this album being as heavy as it was, he introduces a lot more rock elements. There's a lot more heavy guitar, a lot more fuzz in this entire album. Like, he was really listening to, I feel like he was listening to like a lot of Hendrix to really have this sound go with it. So let's talk about the song, I think, that really encapsulates the entire album, Runaway. And so I used to play this. I used to, you know, like the piano intro. Ding, ding.
Yeah,
you know,
like
piano intro. I used to play the intro in a thrift store sometimes whenever I'd go. Like, there was this piano off to the side, and I would always play that intro every single time I went in. I don't remember how to play it anymore. But I feel like if I just played around, I could totally find it. But what's amazing to me is how simple this song is. On paper, like, if we were to kind of break it apart and see how easy it is a little bit, but it's one of the hardest songs he's made with so little, which is like, sometimes less is more, and I think Kanye understands that, and this is like the perfect song for that. It's just piano, drum, bass, vocals, you know, some other small sounds here and there, but it's really, like, the piano is the driving force of this entire song. Did you ever watch the short film for it? It was, like, the music video short film for it?
I don't think so.
It was this, like, half-hour event on VH1 or MTV. Either one of them. But it was a big premiere. It was, like, 9 o'clock or something. It was, like, Kanye's new short film on Runaway. And it's this, for 10 minutes, it's this 10-minute fucking song. At some point, and there's a ballet and him playing a piano in like an abandoned church or some shit, and it's fucking fire. It reminded me of Beyonce Lemonade.
Oh,
when they did that. Yeah, so that's what it really reminded me of, but this was pre-Lemonade, so I guess Kanye did it first.
Don't tell the Beyonce stands that. They'll come to get you. That's scary. The beehive.
Yeah. Yeah, the beehive. Chad will fucking call me.
He will.
I have a good Chad thing to share with you at the end.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's pretty good. I promise it'll make you laugh. So Pusha T, I don't know if Pusha T went away for, I don't even know where the fuck he went for so many years, but Kanye loves working with him, and he was on his album Heavy, and Pusha just has the greatest verses on here, like some of the best shit on here. And then Hell of a Life, I think I just fell in love with a porn star, as Kanye says in the song, as he was going out with Amber Rose around that time. She's not a porn star, surprisingly. For sure. It's super heavy, fuzz guitar. Like, he just, I think he was really into rock music around this time and just found it very appealing to his sound during that time. Mm-hmm. It was omitted from Album of the Year, which went to Adele for 21.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it was also like the Foo Fighters were nominated. I forget who else was nominated, but I'm just like, you know, that would have been a kind of a toss-up. Like, 21 was like, what, made a gajillion amounts of money. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, like, after that, she didn't have to make any more music, basically. Mm-hmm. So we have reached the end of the Kanye songs of the 2000s. I wish we could talk about post-2010 Kanye. We could talk about Watch the Throne, Yeezus.
We're going to have to start a 2010s podcast just to...
You know, the Kanye. Fact that we've reached the end of that fucking decade?
Like, we could. That's the thing. Like, but it feels too soon, you know? Like, no one wants to be nostalgic about the 2010s.
Let's do it after I have, like, two kids and shit in the house.
Oh, gross.
And then we can, like, look... And then we can look back on it and be like, holy shit, Catherine, the 2010s, man. Remember that?
Oh, God, I hate it. I hate
that. As I sip green tea.
I'm still going to be sitting here alone eating pizza.
I know, right? Those biceps. Those biceps take time, bro.
Yeah, a lot of eating pizza.
I wish I could talk about Kanye's life with Kim Kardashian, but, you know, whatever. So what are your thoughts? What are your final thoughts on Kanye's journey, on this Kanye path?
We still just talking 2000s?
I guess overall in general, I guess.
Overall in general. Honestly, overall in general, I think, like, music-wise, I still have a lot of respect for him, and I think he's crazy good, especially at producing music, and it never stays the same, and I think he keeps pushing himself to do new stuff.
Yeah.
That being said, as a person, he's absolutely unhinged. And I sometimes have troubles, like, supporting him, you know? Because he
just... It is difficult. It is difficult. I think that's the word. Very difficult.
Because he's just... He's so unhinged. And I'm not a fan of some of the things he has done the last few years.
I'm not sure if unhinged is the word. I think throughout his history, like, he's not good at talking. No. And I think that that's crossed through for so long. Like, he's not good at being able to... really say what he's trying to think and process a little bit, you know. And so his music just really is his ideas, and him trying to express it sometimes just leads down to really bad paths. So it's, you know, it's Kanye.
I mean, it's
I feel like that's all anyone can say.
It's fucking Kanye. I mean, like, I'm someone who tends to be drawn to music more for, like, the beat and the melody versus the lyrics. Like, I'm not a very lyric oriented person, so that's why I'm like, I really want to enjoy his music. I just have to not, like, listen to it too closely. You know,
if Kanye were to re-release his old albums or each of his albums as pure tracks, just the instrumentals, even, like, just, like, the tracks themselves, like, people would, I feel like, just listening to his instrumentals alone
That
would be a college course.
I would just sit there and listen to all of his music instrumentals. Like, especially from...
It's a good listen.
Like, his most recent album, I haven't heard every song off of it, but, like...
I can't fucking stand it. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's not good. Even the production's a bit shoddy. I'm like, is this what you get for making an album in Iowa?
Is that what he made it?
Like... It was in Idaho, or, like, he was in the Midwest, in the Midwest. Like, he was out in the fields because he wanted to go record the album, like, in the middle of nowhere, basically, to get away from this shit. Which I'm like, good on ya, but what the
fuck,
man?
I will say, his house is the one of a serial killer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. He has bodies. Yeah, 100%.
There's something in there, you know.
So, here's the Chad story I was holding for a little
bit. Let's hear it.
So, our mutual friend Cameron texted me a new 21 Pilots song, and he was like, "Oh my god!" And I was just like, "They fucking suck." And he was just like, Chad told me to send it to you because he knows you hate them.
That is so I was like,
son
brand.
Of a bitch.
It's so I hate that. I love
my
it.
My 21 Pilots hate is on brand for
it's
me.
It's so like, strong. You hate them so much.
They're so fucking bad. I don't get it. We know someone who's seen them in concert multiple times.
Yeah.
I would, in my mind, I would rather have them donate that money that they use to pay for those concerts to a goddamn church. Like, I'd rather have them donate, like, pay, use that money for, like, into your savings account.
Yeah.
A car payment.
It can't be cheap nowadays. You know?
What the fuck?
See them.
Like, they fucking suck. Like, if the White Stripes took acid and LSD every day consistently, it would be 21 Pilots.
Skinny white boys, though, you know?
Skinny white boys. But it's just...
It's what people want.
It's fucking trash. Someone recut a 21 Pilots song and added a guitar to make them rock, and it sounded awful. It like that's just a testament to how terrible that band is. It's not even a band. It's not a band.
This just turned that into not, a long 21 Pilots rant, which has happened multiple times on this podcast.
You know what's bad is if what if this fucking podcast blows the fuck up and people just hear this shit on me not liking 21 Pilots and then 21 Pilots fans come after me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would love for that to happen. Half of them can't even drive. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean,
that's a shit band.
You're not wrong. about the driving.
I will give them credit. I like Heathens, but I'm just like, if you made music like that, I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, but they don't.
But I'm just like don't hide the fact that you're not any genre.
My dad loves 21 Pilots.
This is where this podcast ends. Immediately. This is over. This is completely fucking done.
His favorite album is Vessel.
So our next episode is our 50th episode, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
50.
Oh my god. I 50. Must have numbered our episodes wrong.
No, because you labeled the minisode as 47.
In my hard drive.
But it's also on Spotify. It's also anywhere else. It's on 47.
Oh, well.
And then you labeled the last one 48, too. Like,
well,
you, like,
I don't,
so you fucking
I don't label
just,
that. This
Is it automatic?
Yeah, that's automatic. I don't put numbers.
Oh.
Because I was going to say in my hard drive it's episode. Not labeled that.
So our 50th episode, seeing as it's kind of pushed things up one, I think our 50th episode will be, well, I know what it'll be. It'll be a fun episode. It will be 2000s summer jams.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, yeah. This will be a fun episode. We are going to be making a 2000s summer jams playlist, which we will make public on Spotify.
Ew.
We're going to come up and talk about our favorite jams for the summer, songs that remind us of the summer, a lot of classic hits, a lot of sleeper hits you may have never heard of. That I remember and you remember and we all remember. So summer jams, fun times. So please rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz, and stay clean and stay safe.
Yep.
Coronavirus is still gonna go on, right?
I'm
still gone.
Yeah, probably. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands, ladies and gentlemen. Hand sanitize everything. And if need be, steal a mask from the person next to you.
That's
where it's all coming down to, ladies and gentlemen. We're all, to do my Alex Jones impression, we're all going to come down here. We've got to steal these masks.
There are no masks left. I'm just going to saran wrap my face.
You guys got to buy my mask for Patriots. Patriot mask. I wish I could do a better Alex Jones.
I have a couple of my coworkers have masks and wear them, but like sometimes, but a lot of times, if they're not working with customers, they have the masks off. And I've seen multiple like of my coworkers just like coughing into the air around them without their mask on. And I'm like, they tested me.
Throw them in
they
jail.
They tested me. I'm telling you.
Throw them in
they
jail.
They are testing me.
Throw them into jail. All right, guys. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to us. We will see you guys later. Be clean, be safe, and salute to Catherine and her massive biceps.
Oh! I hate it.
my these are the claps you hear in Animal Crossing.
Love that.
Or I'm making tortillas. Or twerking and making that ass clap. Either or.